Welcome to today's Villiard Podcast. I'm Michael Hedstrom. As the end of the year approaches, it's time to consider tax strategies that can help you reduce your tax bill. Many key tax saving strategies have a December 31st deadline, so you don't want to put off those smart year-end investment decisions that can potentially lead to a significant savings at tax time. With me today is George Young, partner and portfolio manager here at Villiard & Company. He will give us some ideas you may want to consider regarding effective ways to maximize your retirement savings, give to your favorite charity, gift assets to your loved ones, and rebalance your portfolio in a tax-smart way. George, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
There are many things to consider in terms of your portfolio as the year comes to an end. One is known as tax loss harvesting. George, can you talk about the importance and potential benefits of assessing gains and losses in your portfolio?
Sure. It's always a little tricky. It's sort of a double-edged sword at the end of the year because generally investors have a tendency to sell stocks and have an unrealized loss because they think of them as bad stocks. What can happen, even though you take that loss, is that that stock can do well because many other investors are thinking the same thing. So you can take a loss at the end of the year, and to take advantage and avoid the loss, the wash sale rule, you can buy that stock back. That's one thing that we try to do at the end of the year is not just sell the stocks that have losses, but you really want to think of it as an investor of selling those stocks that don't have much further to go, that have reached their potential. So a loss is great to be able to help reduce taxes, but at the same time, don't totally give up on a stock just because it happens to have a hiccup.
And George, are you able to offset some of the gains you may have now when the market has run up so far with some of those losses that you may have?
Sure. This has been an unusual period. As I think investors know, March of 2020 was really the low for the market. So we've had a very powerful 2021, and a lot of people have potential gains or have realized gains. And people should not be fearful and should not drive their gains based on what their taxes might be. But yes, that's obviously an important point, is to use your losses. They can be useful, even though you've got a stock that didn't do what you expected.
And then you mentioned the wash sale rule. Can you just remind our listeners what that is?
Sure, good point. So if you sell a stock and realize a loss, you can't buy it back for 30 days. If you do, you will lose that loss. So very, very important to wait those 30 days before you buy that stock back. If you're lucky or smart, as the case may be, that stock may actually go up in value after you repurchase it. But wait those 30 days, very important.
Let's turn to retirement savings. We always encourage clients to take advantage of the company-sponsored retirement plans, such as 401k, if they have one. However, something that should not be overlooked is making contributions to an IRA or an individual retirement account. Can you talk about how IRAs can provide opportunities to limit your tax liability, both in the present and in the future?
Sure. So the IRA landscape has gotten somewhat complicated because there's so many different flavors nowadays. Years ago, when IRAs were created, and I think that's about 30 years ago, there was just an IRA, which is now known as a, quote, traditional IRA. Since then, there are SEP IRAs, there are Roth IRAs, et cetera. The Roth IRA is a great tool, and it was created for those who have lesser income. Right now, that limits $125,000. So if you are a single taxpayer and you have an income of less than $125,000, you could take advantage of a Roth IRA. Now, what you can also do is a term of art called a backdoor Roth IRA contribution. So that means what you can do if you make over $125,000, you can contribute to your traditional IRA, immediately move those funds to your Roth IRA. And the benefit is that a Roth IRA does not require any distributions as a traditional IRA does. So it's very important to move that to a more tax-efficient pocket, if you will. Now, both of these contributions are non-deductible, meaning one of the advantages of an IRA in general is that you can deduct that contribution from your current earnings. So as I said, it gets a little tricky. There are many flavors. It can be confusing, but a backdoor IRA is efficient, and that's a good way to make use. And the limit right now is $6,000 per year, $7,000 if you're of a certain age. But if you do that every year or plan to do that every year, you can put a lot of money into, quote, the right pocket of your savings plans.
George, that was very helpful. And just to clarify, the contribution limits apply to each individual, so married couples may be able to contribute the full contribution amount for both spouses. Also, you're eligible for the catch-up contribution that George was referring to if you turn 50 during any time in the calendar year. Holders of traditional IRAs and 401k accounts are required to withdraw a percentage of their account balances each year once they reach age 72, formerly 70 and a half. The coronavirus stimulus package, known as the CARES Act, suspended this required minimum distribution, or RMD, for 2020. George, why is it important for investors not to forget to take this RMD in 2021?
Sure. It's a good question, because what's happened is the landscape is very confusing here also. The benefit that the government gave taxpayers in the U.S. in 2020, it was very helpful, but it does cause some confusion, meaning, okay, if they gave it to us in 2020, we still had COVID, so why can we not avoid taking that 2021 RMD? If you don't remember to take that, and most custodians are pretty good at reminding their clients to take the RMD. If you don't do that, then you can be subject to the taxes that were owed and penalties. It's a situation you really don't want to find yourself. So it's important to stay abreast of this and annually double check with your CPA. And by the way, I do advise that every investor have a CPA to bounce ideas off of and to understand how to efficiently do your investing. But yes, you can run afoul of problems, and every year is different. So good news is, yes, RMDs were extended to age 72, so you get a tax break there, but be careful how you tread.
The financial markets have fortunately recovered sharply since the lows in March 2020. Many investors are now interested in hearing more about how to make donations and gifts potentially go farther while saving on taxes. One of the simplest and most tax-advantaged ways to give to charities is through a donor-advised fund, which is the fastest-growing charitable giving vehicle in the U.S. George, why should investors consider creating a donor-advised fund?
Well, I'm going to make the assumption that most investors do have a charitable bone in their bodies, and they do have certain institutions that they are mindful of and want to help. So with that assumption, you can create your own, quote, foundation to a certain degree. A donor advised fund is very appropriately named, meaning you as the donor can give advice to your fund or your fund holder as to where you want your dollars to go. Now, the example here is that you can create a donor advised fund with cash of as little as $5,000. But the more efficient way to do that, if you're fortunate enough to have some gains is in a stock portfolio, is to be able to take that appreciated stock, donate it to your own donor advised fund, which is custodied by Schwab or Fidelity, TD Ameritrade. Many, many different organizations have donor advised fund sponsorship opportunities. You give that appreciated stock to your donor advised fund, and then you advise where you'd like those to go. Now, they have to be, of course, legitimate 501c3 organizations, but that's not a very, very high hurdle.
So George, what you're saying is with a donor advised fund, you get a double tax break, you know, no taxes on the appreciation, you get the full write-off of the full value of the gift. Can you give us an example, you know, for our listeners, how this would work?
Sure, glad to do that. So let's say that you were smart enough, lucky enough to have bought a given stock at $10 per share in March of 2020, when the market was at its lows. And let's say you bought 1,000 shares of that stock. So you paid $10,000 for XYZ stock, and lo and behold, a year and a half later, that stock's at $40 a share, so it's worth $40,000. That means that you have an unrealized gain of $30,000. If you were to sell that stock, and let's assume that your tax bracket's 30%, that means that you would net a profit of $21,000. So on the other hand, if you were to say, I'm feeling very generous, I'd like to give that stock to my donor advised fund, what you'd be able to do is make a gift of something worth $40,000. And that means that you'd get a tax break for that gift of $40,000. You'd avoid the $9,000 in gains, and you'd be able to deduct that gift of $40,000. Now, of course, you don't have to give the whole $40,000. You could give half of that if you wanted. And that way you're able to diversify your holdings in that particular stock, have less holdings in that given stock, but you'd still be able to make the world a better place and give money to those charities that are able to do good in the world. And in this COVID world, there are a lot of people that need help. So it's a great tool.
So if I was interested in setting up a donor advice fund with you, George, how would I go about doing that?
So there are many different, quote, sponsoring organizations in the country today. And I mentioned Fidelity and Schwab. We're based in New Orleans. So another sponsor, and one that's close to our heart, is Greater New Orleans Foundation. So you can set up a donor advised fund with Greater New Orleans Foundation. What's unique about that is that Greater New Orleans Foundation can give you advice on where you may want to place your money so that it can do the most good. So that's a great spot to do it. As I mentioned, my example of $40,000, you can make that donation today and endow the fund if you like, and then give away nominal sums over time and keep it as your own foundation. You don't have to give all the money away at once, and they take care of all the paperwork for you. So it's a great opportunity.
So it's almost like your own charity checking account where you can over time give to charities that you want, and they can help you with some advice if you're looking for that as well. Something else you may want to consider is taking a look at giving through an Uniform Gifts to Minors Act account, an UGMA for short. Can you highlight what an UGMA is?
Sure. Uniform Gifts to Minor means that a person can make a gift of up to $15,000 per year to anybody they want on an annual basis. Additionally, a gift can be made directly to a medical institution or an educational institution for a child's benefit. So let's focus on the $15,000 per year gift. If you were to make that gift, that can grow over time and also is able to reduce the grandfather's estate in the case of an example of a grandparent giving to a grandchild. So if you use a hypothetical situation where that money would grow at 8% per year over a 10-year gifting period of $15,000 per year or $150,000, hypothetically at 8%, that would grow to approximately $300,000 per year. And don't forget that added benefit of getting it out of grandfather's estate.
George, you're giving us a lot of things to think about today. Any final comments?
The main thing is investing is a long-term game. It's not gambling. You don't go into the casino in the morning and have to cash out in the afternoon. And it's appropriate to think about what your goals and objectives are and find an advisor like Villery & Company to kind of help you match those goals and to try and attain those goals over time. So it's a long-term prospect. And the good news is that it's liquid and unlike owning real estate where you have to manage it and keep an eye on things, the stock's not gonna call you in the middle of the night to say that the toilet broke. So I'm a big fan of stock investing, bond investing where appropriate, and happy to take any other questions that you might have for us at Villery.
Thank you, George. As always, we appreciate your insight and perspective.
Thank you.
Thanks also to all of you who tuned in and listened to this podcast. As a reminder, we encourage you to also consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding your specific situation. If you have any questions and for more information and insight from Villery & Company, please visit our website at villery.com or call us at 504-525-0808. This concludes our podcast. Have a great day.